On June 30th, 1988, Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre, founder of the Society of St. Pius X, and Bishop Antonio de Castermeyer consecrated four bishops for the SSPX against the explicit orders of Pope John Paul II. Detractors of the SSPX often say that Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre, as well as the other five bishops, were excommunicated by Pope John Paul II as a result of these unauthorized consecrations. But is this true? The papal document Ecclesia Dei, which was issued by Pope John Paul II in response to the episcopal consecrations, states the following. In itself, this act was one of disobedience to the Roman pontiff in a very grave matter, and of supreme importance for the unity of the church, such as the ordination of bishops, whereby the apostolic succession is sacramentally perpetuated. Hence such disobedience, which implies in practice the rejection of the Roman primacy, constitutes a schismatic act. In performing such an act, notwithstanding the formal canonical warning sent to them by the Cardinal Prefect of the Congregation of Bishops on 17th June last, Monsignor Lefebvre and the priests Bernard Fallet, Bernard Tissier de Molleret, Richard Williamson, and Alphonse de Galarreta have incurred the grave penalty of excommunication envisaged by ecclesiastical law, Code of Canon Law 1382. Now, this doesn't look good for Lefebvre and the other bishops. However, in 2009, Pope Benedict XVI lifted the excommunication of the four bishops who were consecrated, as well as all ecclesiastical penalties, making the document Ecclesia Dei null and void. On the basis of the powers expressly granted me by the Holy Father Benedict XVI, by virtue of the present decree, I remit the penalty of excommunication, laetae sententia, incurred by Bishops Bernard Fallet, Bernard Tissier de Molleret, Richard Williamson, and Alfonso de Galarreta, and declared by the congregation on 1 June 1988. At the same time, I declare that, as of today's date, the decree issued at that time no longer has juridical effect. Pope Benedict XVI, in his letter to the bishops concerning the remission of the excommunication of the four bishops consecrated by Archbishop Lefebvre, says they have been freed of the ecclesiastical penalty. Yet many still make the charge of excommunication against the SSPX. One could say that even if there were an official declaration of excommunication issued by Pope John Paul II, it no longer applies, thanks to Benedict XVI. Of course, the excommunication against Lefebvre himself was never lifted. But was that ever even the case? Was Archbishop Lefebvre and the other bishops really excommunicated? Pope John Paul II would have to have been wrong for there to have been no excommunication. Is that even possible? Yes. You see, Pope John Paul II did not excommunicate Lefebvre and the other bishops. He announced that the actions of Lefebvre and the others incurred the automatic penalty by virtue of the act itself, called laetae sententia, of excommunication, according to canon law. He did not invoke his papal authority, though he could have, but rather announced what amounts to little more than his theological and juridical opinion on the matter. So he can be wrong. This was not an infallible proclamation. Of course, he was the Pope, so we assume that he was right unless it can be shown otherwise, even when he's not speaking infallibly. So let's take a look. He cited Canon 1382, which reads, "A bishop who consecrates someone a bishop without a pontifical mandate and the person who receives a consecration from him incur a laetae sententia excommunication reserved to the apostolic see." Seems pretty cut and dry, right? Not so fast. Remember, John Paul II says this canon was violated, therefore they are excommunicated laetae sententia by the act itself. However, Canon 1323 says the following are not subject to a penalty when they have violated a law or a precept. Point 4. A person who acted coerced by grave fear, even if only relatively grave, or due to necessity or grave inconvenience, unless the act is intrinsically evil or tends to the harm of souls. Point 7. A person who, without negligence, thought that one of the circumstances mentioned in 4 was present. And Canon 1324 says, the perpetrator of a violation is not exempt from a penalty, but the penalty established by law or precept must be tempered or a penance employed in its place if the delict was committed. Point 5. By a person who was coerced by grave fear, even if only relatively grave, or due to necessity or grave inconvenience, if the delict is intrinsically evil or tends to the harm of souls. 8. By a person who thought in culpable error that one of the circumstances mentioned in Canon 1323, points 4 and 5 was present. Point 4 of 1323, again, is a person who acted coerced by grave fear, even if only relatively grave, or due to necessity or grave inconvenience, unless the act is intrinsically evil or tends to the harm of souls. Canon 1324 goes on to say, in the circumstances mentioned in point 1, the accused is not bound by a laete sententia penalty. So the automatic laete sententia excommunication that Pope John Paul says occurred did not occur if the person acted out of coercion of grave fear, even if only relatively grave, or due to necessity or grave inconvenience, unless the act is intrinsically evil or tends to the harm of souls, even if the person thought in culpable error that one of those circumstances mentioned was present. So if Archbishop Lefebvre was coerced by grave fear, real or imagined, or thought real or imagined that there was a state of necessity, even if he felt that he was being gravely inconvenienced, then the excommunication did not occur, because Canon 1324 says if they are, the accused is not bound by a laete sententia penalty. So, were any of these present? Turns out they all were. Archbishop Lefebvre was old, had terminal cancer, and felt that he didn't have long to live. He also felt that Rome was stalling him on consecrating a bishop, hoping that he would die so they could disband the society. That covers grave fear and inconvenience, in my opinion. Remember, it doesn't matter if it was real or not. It only matters if he thought it was real. But more importantly, and more provable, is the fact that Lefebvre thought there was a state of necessity. In his sermon at the 1988 consecration ceremony, he says the following, "Thus you will find among these flyers, which are put at your disposal, an admirable study done by Professor George May, president of the Seminary of Canon Law in the University of Mainz in Germany, who marvelously explains why we are in a case of necessity. Necessity to come and help your soul to help you. It seems to me, my dear brethren, that I am hearing the voices of all these popes, since Gregory XVI, Pius IX, Louis XIII, St. Pius X, Benedict XV, Pius XI, Pius XII, telling me, please, we beseech you, what are you going to do with our teachings, with our preaching, with the Catholic faith? Are you going to abandon it? Are you going to let it disappear from this earth? Since the council, what we have condemned in the past, the present Roman authorities have embraced and are professing. All the errors which we have condemned are now professed, adopted, and supported by the authorities of the Church. Is it possible, unless you do something to continue this tradition of the Church which we have given to you, all of this shall disappear, souls shall be lost." Lefebvre continues, "Thus we find ourselves in a case of necessity. This change which has occurred in the Church is not Catholic. It is not in conformity to the doctrine of all times. This ecumenism and all these errors, this collegiality, all this is contrary to the faith of the Church and is in the process of destroying the Church. This is why we are convinced that by the act of these consecrations today, we are obeying the call of these popes and as a consequence the call of God, since they represent our Lord Jesus Christ in the Church." And there's a lot more in that sermon I could quote to prove this point, not to mention his letter to confuse Catholics, but for the sake of brevity, I won't. It is also important to note that a bishop consecrating other bishops without papal approval or even against papal command has never been in the life of the Church an excommunicable offense until recently. It is said that Lefebvre believed that this penalty was added to the new code of canon law so that they could excommunicate him if he consecrated bishops without Rome's permission, which further shows that he was acting out of fear. Again, it doesn't have to be true. He just has to believe it is true. And I'm driving that point home because invariably I'm going to get comments defending Rome saying there was no such conspiracy against Lefebvre and the society. Fine, doesn't matter. If he believed there was, then no excommunication happened. It is evident that Archbishop Lefebvre believed that since the Second Vatican Council, the true Catholic faith was being undermined by Rome, that he was being called to preserve it, and that he needed to consecrate bishops in order for the society to continue, and that Rome was undermining that effort. Again, it doesn't matter if it was true, only if he believed it was true. Now, you might say, but that's subjective. Well, it's not my fault the new code of canon law is concerned with feelings. But it is, and so we have to take that into consideration. It's not as simple as he did the act, therefore he was excommunicated, as some would like it to be. And I think anyone who takes the time to look into the matter and follow Lefebvre's thought process on this will come to the conclusion that these extenuating circumstances that the Code of Canon Law says prevent a laete sententia excommunication are present. Just read all of the canons 1323 and 1324, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And if they were present for Lefebvre, it's not a leap to say they were present for the others. So in my opinion, Archbishop Lefebvre was not excommunicated. And since the excommunications of the four bishops were lifted, though I doubt they ever were excommunicated either, there's nothing to see here. Sorry. And if there was no excommunication, how could there be a schism? I'm going to discuss why the SSPX is not in schism, why the state of necessity does exist, why that does not affect the church's indefectibility, and why you can attend an SSPX Mass in future videos, starting maybe with my next video, maybe not. I'm going to try to mix it up with other topics because I know I have people on my channel who aren't necessarily interested or care about the SSPX, and I don't want to make them wait several weeks before doing videos that have a broader appeal. Until my next video, God bless.